Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vaibhav Global Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kyle Kola of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, everyone, and warmly welcome you to Vaibhav Global Limited's Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Sunil Agrawal, Managing Director, Mr. Vineet Kneriwala, Group CFO, and Ms. Deepti Rajput, Head Investor Relations. We will begin the call with opening remarks by Mr. Sunil Agrawal on the business operations, key initiatives, and broad outlook, followed by a discussion on the financial performance by Mr. Vineet Kneriwala. Following the management's opening comments, we will open the forum for an interactive Q&A session. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made or discussed on today's call may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties which we face today. A detailed statement and explanation of these risks is included in the earnings presentation, which has been shared with you all earlier. The company does not undertake to update these risks, forward-looking statements publicly. I would now like to invite Mr. Sunil Agrawal to make his opening remarks. Over to you, Sunil.
Thank you, Kyle. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Vaibhav Global's earnings call to discuss Q1 FY22 financials and operating performance. Before we begin, I hope all of you, along with your families, are keeping safe and healthy. I hope that the worldwide vaccine drive will enable humanity to conquer the COVID virus soon. I also hope that we all will come out stronger from this difficult experience. We all at Vaibhav Global have taken this significant challenge as an opportunity. In a rapidly changing environment, we have been considerably resilient and agile to scale up our retail business in both of our consumer markets. This has resulted in market share gains, driving volumes, and elevated financial performance. Since the advent of COVID, we are seeing accelerated digital adoption. We have therefore gained traction on TV home shopping, e-commerce, and several emerging platforms. Customers increasingly recognize the deep value proposition of our brands, that is Shoppersy and TJC. We remain well-placed to leverage potential of advanced consumer markets of U.S. and U.K. amidst rapidly evolving digital platforms. In Q1 FY22, we entered the new financial year with another strong quarterly performance. Retail revenues grew at 23%, EBITDA grew at 26% year-over-year. Excluding Germany, the EBITDA growth is 34% year-over-year. In Q1, our gross margins were at 65%. We gained operating leverage to expand EBITDA to deliver another strong quarter. Q1 ROCE came in at 60%. Our ability to profitably expand on a fairly stable operating base has allowed us to consistently deliver strong ROCE over the last several years. Our operations continue to be cash accretive, and we have once again declared a dividend of rupees 1.5 per share for Q1. We maintain a balance between growth investments and dividend payouts, a trend that we would expect to maintain by following our stated dividend distribution policy. Net cash on the balance sheet was at rupees 510 crores at the end of Q1. Our vertically integrated model is supported by a global network that procures a wide range of products from 33 sourcing countries. This has enabled rapid product diversification based on evolving customer needs. Currently, we have about 25,000 unique items available to customers and tend to add about 100 to 150 new products every day by keeping a close eye on emerging trends, fashions, and needs. These quality products are delivered to the customer doorsteps at guaranteed lowest price, creating a deep value perception in the market. We have demonstrated a unique ability to drive both the lowest ASPs along with highest gross margins as compared to any other player in our industry. This is core to our ongoing success. Backing up the strong customer interface is our technology-driven global organization. IT is embedded into all our business processes with seamless connect from point of source to point of sale. Over the past several quarters, we have made several strategic investments to improve supply chain efficiencies and customer fulfillment, including wallet integration, implementation of enhanced ERP system, product personalization, and expanded artificial intelligence capabilities across functional processes. Other significant initiatives are also in pipeline, and we will share details with you as we operationalize them. I will now take you to some of the key developments during Q1 FY22. Our expanding through marketplaces in new geographies such as Canada, Germany, and Japan, we have now commenced our retail operation in Germany with the launch of our local website and TV channel. With 38 million TV households, Germany is Europe's largest home shopping market, and Shoppers GmbH has now started operating broadcasting from a partner studio to over 17 million households across the country. Very soon, we'll be starting operation from our own studio in Dusseldorf. Launch in Germany represents our entry into the third significant retail market globally. Having established a strong and growing presence in the US and UK over the last few years, we will now look to exploit the tremendous growth potential afforded by online retail and TV home shopping markets in Germany. Another key initiative implemented in the recent past is the launch of TJC Plus for our UK customers. Under this membership program, customers can avail of free and fast delivery apart from other benefits as members. While the additional costs of such key initiatives are built into our reported financial performance, benefits in the form of customer acquisition and retention will accrue over the time. Now discussing the 4R strategy that underlies our operating model. We track reach, registration, retention, and repeat purchases as a part of a continuous dashboard. We have undertaken several customer-oriented initiatives to drive sustained improvement on each of these parameters. The reach of our TV networks by the end of Q1 FY22 was 102.5 million TV homes. This is now further enhanced by 17 million households added in July in Germany. We reach TV homes through cable, satellite, telco networks, and over-the-air antenna-based TV platforms. Our products are also available on digital channels, including our proprietary websites, smartphone apps, OTT platforms, marketplaces, influencer marketing, and social direct response. With combined reach of almost 500 million people in three of the foremost consumer markets in the developed world. New registrations on trailing 12-month basis continue to be strong and came in at 2.9 lakh compared to 2.37 lakh in the corresponding period of the previous year. This reflects our ability to not only spot changing customer preference, but also respond to them with agility. Customers bought an average of 30 pieces on TTM basis from us compared to 27 pieces in the corresponding period of the previous year. As the engagements with new customers deepen, we expect to continue to drive bigger volumes. Finally, our retention rates stood at 45.7% on TTM basis compared to 50.5% for the same period last year. This is partly impacted by high new customer addition in Q1 FY2021 owing to essential items offered last year. Our retention rate of old customer base continues to remain strong. Giving back to society is a philosophy we strongly believe in. As part of the inclusion process, we have given our employees a safe work environment while protecting their livelihood and remuneration. During the second wave of pandemic in India, we donated an oxygen plant, 113 oxygen concentrators, and 31 BiPAP machines to hospitals and people in need. Our flagship meal purchase feeds program has now provided meals to over 55 million children in the US, UK, and India. We've also invested in solar power generation, and 100% of our Jaipur manufacturing plant's power needs are now covered by green energy. We have also invested in rainwater harvesting, effluent treatment, tree plantation, and most recently, a Miyawaki forest on 1 acre site in Jaipur. We remain committed to mitigating our impact on climate change across the value chain and have set ourselves a stringent target to minimize the carbon footprint of our operations. As I conclude, I would like to reiterate our positive outlook for the business. We are confident of our business model, value proposition, and our execution abilities. I would like to reiterate the guidance of 16 to 18% retail revenue growth in constant currencies in our old geographies of US and UK for the current financial year. With that, I now hand over the forum to Vineet to discuss financial performance for the period under review. Over to you, Vineet.
Thank you, Sunil. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Vaibhav Global's quarterly earnings call. I hope that you and your loved ones are all safe and keeping well. I will now take you all through our financial performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2021 in greater detail. In Q1 FY22, we have carried the success of FY21 into the new financial year. Revenue stood at 682 crores, growing 24% year-on-year, with retail revenues growing at 23% year-on-year. We achieved 21% growth in both US and UK in their local currencies. EV revenues have grown by 24.6% year-on-year to rupees 426 crores and web revenues by 19.7% year-on-year to rupees 243 crores during Q1 FY22. EV contribution to our retail revenue is now at 64%, with the rest coming from the web segment as the business gains greater balance. EV includes customer accessing our products through our proprietary TV channels that reach their homes both on conventional TV media as well as free-to-air channels on OTA platforms. Web includes online purchases on our proprietary websites and shopping apps, apart from popular marketplaces and social commerce. Such omni-channel customers, our core focus is to promote and encourage customers to transact on both EV and web platforms, which gives them a unique shopping experience, and such omni-channel customers tend to be sticky and have a significantly higher lifetime value than customers that buy only on TV or only on web. In our overall product mix, revenue contribution from non-jewelry products was at 31% in Q1, which is in line with FY21 levels, having grown from single-digit level as recently as FY17. This clearly demonstrates our ability to expand wallet share by entering adjacent categories over time. Non-jewelry categories now include fashion accessories, lifestyle, beauty, and essential products. This trend has also balanced revenue streams from the previously high dependency on jewelry products. Our Budget Pay feature provides customer the convenience of buying on EMI basis. In Q1, Budget Pay based products contributed 38% to retail revenues. This feature has added a further level of affordability, especially in high value products, improving access and driving ASPs to some extent as well. Gross margins came in at 65% in Q1 FY22. As Sunil indicated earlier, we have maintained product contribution margins at 60% plus level across various stages of the business cycle and across a growing range of products. In fact, we require new products and categories to deliver margins at similar levels before considering inclusion in the portfolio. EBITDA margins came in at 14.4% in Q1, growing from 14.1%, increase of 30 basis points year on year. Excluding losses in New Germany unit, the EBITDA margin came in at 15.3% in Q1, expanding by 120 basis points year on year from Q1 FY21. Some of our key organizational investments include strengthening talent pipeline, greater sales and marketing visibility, and cost associated with faster delivery to the customers. Consistently making such investments will allow us to continuously improve our competitive position in the market and continue the growth momentum. However, while investing in our future growth areas, we continue to see operating leverage in our core business model, also supported by various cost initiatives across the organization. Profit after tax for Q1 stood at Rs. 99 crores, up 86.6% year on year. This, however, includes an exceptional item, other income of Rs. 33 crores, towards waiver of Paycheck Protection Program loan net of expenditure. Under CARES Act, we were eligible for PPP loan and had taken a loan in our ShopLC subsidiary in US from the United States SBA administration to the tune of $4.8 million, which was eligible for waivers subject to certain conditions. During the current quarter, we had received approval for waiver towards the same and have accordingly accounted for that as exceptional other income. Operating cash flow came in at Rs. 68 crores and free cash flow came in at Rs. 32 crores in Q1, driven by growth delivery in a capital-light business framework. Cash in hand, net of debt, was at Rs. 449 crores as of close of Q1 FY22. On a TTM basis, ROCE and ROE were 60% and 31% respectively. The consistency in these ratios signify the strength of our business model. As Sunil mentioned, we continue with our policy of recommending dividend every quarter, and in this quarter, the board has approved a dividend of Rs. 1.5 share for Q1. To conclude, we have demonstrated resilience, agility, and strength, reflecting in our performance for the quarter. Going ahead, we remain confident of our prospects and look forward to deliver in line of or ahead of our stated growth guidance. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and request the operator to open the forum for questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manish Dhariwal from Fiducia Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon. Am I audible? Yeah. I have my compliments on excellent results and observation that 38% of our revenues are now getting contributed by the EMI plan. Which is very significant. In fact, it's up from 23% a couple of years ago. So when a customer is buying on an EMI, so there is a credit risk that is being taken. So how is that managed?
Vinithi, you want to answer?
Yeah, I can take that one, Sunil. So yes, our budget pay revenues are at 38% of our total revenues. And we consciously try to maintain it around at 40% levels only. So also, we usually offer this for high price products, and the installment range is anywhere between 2 to 6 installments. The first is charged upfront before the goods are dispatched to the customer, and the remaining installments are charged every month after every 30 days. So over a period of time, like we have subscribed to various kinds of fraud checks mechanisms, all the processes we have subscribed to, which filters the bad customers, and only the good customers' orders actually flow in and are accepted and are accepted under this budget pay mechanisms. What we have observed over a period of time is that health of receivable is quite good. Even in the peak pandemic period, the level of bad debts last year was about 1.2-1.3%. In fact, in Q1 this year, we have recovered further from our old receivables, and the bad debts as of Q1 is only 0.7% as we speak. So the health of the receivable is good. All the fraud check system-led support is available to filter out the bad customers at the initial stages. To that extent, so no concerns on the receivables as such.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is in the line of Yash Jogirkar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. My question was relating to TV segment. So, how has the TV sales grown so far than web in this quarter?
Yeah, I'll answer that. So, we've taken some new distribution in US, especially OTAs and the beauty channel in UK. So, these distribution has helped television a bit. And also, the product offering, sometimes product mix also makes a difference. Last year, there was a lot of essentials sold on TV and web, and people could not get fast enough on TV, so they were coming. A lot of them are coming through web. So web last year was a bit extra elevated. So when you look at the ratio wise, it is still pretty healthy web and e-com mix that we have.
Also, when I have a look at the TV channel expenses, that is the content and broadcasting expenses, that has gone up year on year around 45%. So, is it likely to remain at the same levels for the rest of the year? Or
so, we took some extra new TV homes. So, that elevated the expenses. And also, we spent a lot in our digital marketing during the quarter. So, that was the reason. And for the coming for the rest of the year, I can't give exact guidance because I don't have it in front of me. But what we can say is US and UK markets will have continued leverage while we continue to invest in the German market.
Okay. And also, I actually missed the part on the new registration. So if you could please repeat it.
Can you repeat your question on new registration?
From your opening comments, I actually missed the new registration part, the figures on the new registration.
Sure. Let me go there.
Hello.
Data was. Yeah, I'm trying to find where the data was. Just give me a moment.
Sunil, I can take that. So the new registration on a TTM basis continued to be strong and was 2.9 lakhs in Q1 compared to 2.37 lakhs in the corresponding period of the previous year. Following our ability to not only spot the changing customer preferences but also respond to them with agility. So that was the comment. So.
Can you repeat the last year's figure?
So the numbers you are talking about or the comment? I'm sorry to.
The number, the TTM number for the last year.
2.37 lakhs.
Okay. Okay, I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. Our next question is on the line of Kanwalpreet Singh from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. Sir, I wanted to get your sense on how you view customer growth. The reason I am asking this is because last year there was a big jump up in registrations and almost 40% of the total customer count was from new registration. So do you see any risk from, you know, physical retail opening up again? And as you also mentioned earlier, there's less web traffic happening now. So any risk to sales growth because of lower registration for the full year? Any risk you see on that front?
Yeah, complete. The number of new customer registrations we had in Q1 FY2 22 was about 53,000 compared to last year's Q1 of 84,000. But when you look at the year before that, it was only 28,000. So from Q1 FY20 of 28,000, the number today, the last quarter was 53,000 from the year before. So in a steady state, we've grown substantially year over year, even though the economy was opening up. So last year was an extra jump that we got on new customers because of essentials. But overall, when you look at the repeat purchase and ASP also combined have gone up a little bit, our revenue growth will continue to grow. And we are confident of our guidance that we've given of 16% to 18% growth for this financial year, even on the top of elevated growth last year.
Right, right. Sir, the other thing, you know, that was another feature that I saw with these results this quarter, that a lot of your sales growth has come from increase in ASP. I understand that last year there was sales of essentials, so maybe that skewed the average selling price. But over a longer trend, do you think there is room for ASP to increase?
So our target is not to increase too much because we want to be differential in the market. We want to be approximately half of our retail other competitors. So as to create the differentiation. So retail, so ASP tend to go up when it is more jewelry or less of essential. Essentials are all about $11, $12, $13 items. So there the ASP went down quite substantially. But when you look at the from year before, we are in line with that number.
Okay, right. The last question, on the TV expense, again, I'm sorry I'm repeating what my participant asked earlier, but could you give a sense of how much of that was in Germany? Because that is a new addition, right? So could you quantify the cost of TV and broadcasting for Germany?
So we won't be able to break separately. What we can do is to give you the breakdown of total operating loss that you incurred in Germany during the quarter. Because
right.
I don't have the number of breaking separate right now.
So any profits against that? Any sales against the loss in Germany? Or is it only investment?
Germany is very beta phase right now because we are just testing broadcasting from a third-party studio. Our own studio will be operational before the end of this quarter. So we'll be starting to record sales from not even current quarter, but from next quarter onwards.
Okay, understood. Right. That was helpful, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Congrats for the great set of numbers. Again, beating your own guidance. One question was, I'm observing the recent registration. You already pointed out about the retention being low because of the last year, the lot of non-essential customers kind of adding in our network, and that resulted into going down a bit. But if I look at the sequential number on the TVs and the registration, as well as on the unique customer number, the TTM basis is kind of declining. So is it anything needs to be worried about that? Or this is because of the last year days having more essential customers getting out of the network?
Yeah. It's all about that very high number of customers that we acquired. As I gave you the number,
right.
Q1 FY20, we only registered 28,000 customers. And then FY21 was 84,000. And FY22, it was 53,000. So we did phenomenal growth from the year before. But last year was very unusual. And we took the advantage of that situation of a customer needing certain products. And we offered them, that led to very high registration. But the key thing is, we are able to continue the overall momentum of revenue growth and keep meet or exceed our guidance of 16 to 18% constant currency revenue growth.
Right. So this is not a worrying sign. It's just a temporary base effect kind of catching up in terms of registration.
Absolutely.
Okay. And second is we discussed some of the newer markets we want to target through UK and Germany as a base in other European geographies in years. This was kind of coming as positively surprised in terms of timing of those announcements, because we were of view that we will be kind of stabilize our German extension, and then we kind of extend to other geographies from that. So is the extension to Switzerland, Ireland, and Scotland are in place, or the thought process are in place, and we can expect it as soon as next year? That's the thinking.
So Germany signal goes to Austria and Switzerland. Switzerland is not going right now, but it will start to go. But Austria, it goes naturally. So we are already shipping to Austria from Germany. Switzerland, we are not at this time. But with this, it doesn't mean that we have to have additional outpost in Switzerland or Austria. And
yeah,
same thing from UK. UK broadcast to Ireland and Scotland anyways.
Right. Okay. So it will be through TV channel, or it will be e-com web-based sales which will be happening because?
Both.
Both. Okay. And lastly, on the size, when we indicated that we have around 3% market share overall in the retail e-com sales, If I try to further slice it down to our target segment, which is the age group between 40 to 65, and the product categories between jewelry and lifestyle products, what is the management's broad estimate in terms of what can be the size of that particular demographic spending on this on the relevant product category annually in this geography? If you can share some qualitative or quantitative
guidance to that? Yeah, so we don't have exact data on that. We do market research from time to time, but I don't have the data right now. But we do know that our product segment that we are addressing and going, making larger investment, that is jewelry and fashion, has tremendous market size in the geographies that we go in. And we are addressing those customers through multiple reach out platforms, like the television, our mobile app, marketplaces, desktop, social DR, and as well as influencers. So we have multiple omni-channel strategy continues to give us growth as well as resilience in change of the customer's preferences. And the customer that sees us from multiple channel is more lifetime value. So we are very confident of our strategy and comfortable in our growth guidance.
Sure, Swati. All the very best. I'll jump back in before you. Super.
Thank you, Chintan.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rahul Ramakrishnan from Vista Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Congratulations and my best wishes to the whole team. Hello, am I audible?
Yes,
you are.
So in one of your previous con calls, like a couple of times, you mentioned that QVC is at $60 per household, while we are at $3. Now, this $3 is revenue divided by the number of active households, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, going by that logic, we can't aspire to be $60, right? Because there are certain items that QVC sells that we will never sell. Not never sell, but we don't, like, say, a vacuum cleaner or something. So is my understanding correct that we shouldn't look at $60 as a benchmark?
So from the point of product-wise, there is nothing that we won't sell. But the main difference in the strategy is that they sell third-party brands. We follow more Zara strategy of developing our brands so that we are not...
Sir, I'm totally aware of that. My question was actually the fact that there are some households where we would never cater to, even though we are active in 100 million households, just because of the kind of products that we sell. So by that logic, if we divide revenue by households, we are actually also using in the denominator a lot of households which we will actually never cater to, which is not the case with QVC, and hence the $60 is, you know, more justified, I guess.
Let me complete my thought.
Oh, sorry.
So please, we are selling more OEM brands, and for that, what is the ceiling? We don't know, because nobody has tried this before.
Mm.
The only one who is doing this on a self-developed vertical model brand with the value proposition at the price point that we sell. So we give their reference, their $60 as reference, but what is our ceiling? Is it $20 or is it $100? Nobody knows. Nobody has attempted this before.
Fair point, sir. Fair point. That answers my question. So my second question is, what's the difference between registrations and unique customers? How would you define that?
So unique customer is a customer who's purchased from in last year, in trailing 12 months, irrespective of the registration was done during the year, during the period, or 5 years ago.
Got it. And so my last question is, could you please tell me the share of revenues through your social DR and marketplace currently? Just an approximate figure. Like,
it's not a whole lot large. Marketplaces last financial year, let me see how it did. Yeah. Yeah, we did approximately between US and UK, if I remember from the top of my head, we did about, I think, $8 million or $9 million. Do you have it, Alok?
Yeah, Sunil, in INR terms, so in quarter one, we would be about 15 crores of marketplace revenues.
Okay, sir. So if I remember from your last con call, you were quite enthused about your progress in the marketplace as well as the social DR. So does that enthusiasm sustain? Is it still going as per expectations?
Yeah, social DR, for example, was 4 crores compared to 1 crore last year. So 4 crore in Q1 22 compared to 1 crore in Q1 21. But marketplace, we came down actually. It was 15 crore from 21 crore last year, because last year we sold quite a bunch of essentials through marketplaces. But the jewelry as such has gone up in marketplaces for us. Jewelry or other products have gone up. Essential was a large portion of sales on marketplaces last year.
Perfect, sir. That answers all my questions. All the best to you and your team, sir. Thank you for today.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jay Tejwani from Julius Baer. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, my first question is on our employee cost. We saw a rise in employee cost. Is this primarily attributable for Jammu?
To a large extent. And also, we increased wages in U.S. recently because there is a pressure on wages in U.S. owing to immigration controls and other policies, as well as the economy opening up. So Germany, as well as U.S. wage pressure, even in U.K., there was some additional minimum wage introduced by government during the year. So that also added to the pressure.
Where do you see employee cost landing for the year, approximately?
We don't have projection on the employee cost right now. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. But as a percentage of sale, employee cost will continue to be as in Q1. Although as Q3 sales in season time, as sales goes up, the percentage will come down. But when you look at compared to last year, there is an elevation in this first quarter. The same percentage of sale will continue for the rest of the year. I don't see it coming down substantially. So let me take it back. It may come down somewhat because we are introducing robotics in our warehouses, both in US and UK. So it may come down somewhat to that, but I do not know how much contribution will that be. Outside of that, I don't see any major changes coming in. We made some investment into manpower. We hired more than 50 management trainees in India during pandemic, over the course of pandemic. So that is investment we made in talent during the period. And some other strategic investments we made like AI, ML. So those investments for Germany.
Understood. So my next question is, amongst the new sales platforms that we are on, where are we seeing the most traction?
That's a very broad question. So our own e-com platforms, mobile apps, our desktops, so those are having the most traction, followed by social DR, influencers. Marketplace, as I mentioned, it actually went down this quarter, because last quarter we had very high essential sales. But I think as that essential bump normalizes, our sales will continue to go up in marketplaces as well.
Understood.
I'm just giving you this my general impression. I don't have the data in front of me, but that's my general impression.
No, understood. Go on.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Susmit Patodia from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on delivery cost.
Susmit, your voice is not very clear.
Is it better now?
It's still echoing. Can you use the handset mode, please?
I'm using the handset mode. I'm in a closed room, so maybe because of that. Sir, if it's okay, I can go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you. So my first question is on delivery cost. There's a sharp reduction. Is anything specific, or is it just because of the value increase? Any specific initiative you've undertaken?
Sushmit, can you repeat your question? I couldn't hear it.
So on the delivery cost, delivery distribution and packaging cost, the percentage of sales is down. So is there a specific initiative?
Yeah, so we are negotiating our contracts with all the shipping companies. Last year was very disruptive because there was a shortage on the capacity. This, now the capacity is increasing across both US and UK. So we are negotiating with them to reduce the cost and increase the velocity or the speed to the customer. So we have made some improvement during this quarter Q1, and we expect to improve further in Q2. Now, that has been offset to some degree by the shipping costs from supply chain, Asia over to US. So those shipping costs have really gone up, and the delays have gone up too. So those delays have built into our working capital and inventories, and as well as the costs. But over the course of the year, we expect that to normalize and help our shipping cost overall as a percentage of revenue. So I think over the year, in coming quarters, this area should improve.
Okay, got it. And so the second question is for Germany. Since will there be a difference in broadcasting cost if you when you move to your own studio? Currently, it looks like it's about 7-8 crores a quarter.
So Germany broadcast cost is not 7-8 crores a quarter. Even the total broadcast cost is substantially more than that. But our studio versus second studio, that doesn't make a difference. But the third party studio is very plain and very sterile kind of studio. When we have our own studio, we have multiple sets, the bedroom set, the kitchen set, the living room set, the jewelry set. So the customer experience will be at much different level.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Sahil. As an individual investor, please go ahead. Sahil, your line is unmuted. You may please go ahead with the question. Team says no response from the current participant. We will move to the next question. That is from the line of Yash Joglekar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, so from the investor presentation, what we understand is that the company has made roughly 36 crore capex. So can you just give us a clarity on what is the nature of this capex?
I'll take that one, Sunil. So a part of this capex have gone in Germany, new Germany establishment. Like we stated earlier, this year we intend to spend about $2 million of capex in that unit. So we have spent already about $1 million out of that. So that is what is going into the capex. The remaining part is largely towards IT. So we continue to invest in IT as a part of our growth strategy and towards our aspiration to become more and more digital. So some significant IT capex which are coming in this quarter is upgrading of our mobile website for US, mobile app upgradation for both US and UK, and the warehouse automation which Sunil was talking about. So we are automating both our warehouses in US and UK and putting geek robots out there. So this is a large chunk of the capex which you see in Q1 this year.
Okay, and so my next question is regarding Germany. So this quarter, Germany reported roughly 62 million loss. So what would be the run rate of this loss going forward? Would it be in the same ranges?
So our total year guidance is $3 to $5 million for the losses for the year. So I do not have in front of me what is the quarter-wise projection. And since this is already a quite big range because it's a new operation for us, so we are not giving guidance of a quarterly number. But for the whole year, we'll have to look anywhere within $3 to $5 million.
Okay, sir. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Sahil Sharma. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good result. What I wanted to understand is due to our great ROCE of 60% plus and the great free cash flow, we have 500 crores of cash on our book. And given that we are an OPEX-heavy business, not very CAPEX-heavy, how do we plan to utilize this cash and any time frame for utilizing this cash?
Yeah, I'll take that. So thank you, Rahul. Thank you, Sahil. Our dividend policy is already stated of 20 to 30% of free cash flow, and we are adhering to that policy. And for the rest of the cash, if there is an opportunity for us for inorganic growth, we will take that opportunity. From organic point of view, we have Germany in front of us, and then also we will be establishing our own premises in UK and US. Currently, we are in rented premises, but to increase efficiency, reduce costs, we will go into our own premises down the road. So some of the cash may be utilized there as well. And if after that, if we see extra cash coming in or extra cash on the balance sheet, then we will be happy to have extraordinary dividend distributed.
I see. Thanks so much. My second question is, if we look at how customer interactions work with platforms, e-commerce platforms which have a more wider range of products that are offered, customers end up spending more time on those platforms, and such platforms are able to grab a larger part of the customer wallet. So from that standpoint, like, do we have any plans of kind of diversifying the SKUs? Like, primarily, if I understand, our SKUs are jewelry, essentials, and lifestyle products. So any plans on diversifying or like increasing the SKUs themselves?
So our total items in our inventory is about 25,000 usually at any given time in US, and about 18 to 20,000 in UK. So we want to retain the total items around to this number. It may go up some, but we don't want to go Amazon way, which is a long tail strategy. We believe that us keeping a SKU breadth to a limit would create that value proposition, the story points that we can share with customers, so customer engagement is high. If you spread too thin, too far, then that value proposition on the interest may go down. And we want to play to us rather than to copy Amazon.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Sure, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Jaiswani from Stallion AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sunilji. Sunilji, just wanted to understand more about the budget day sales that we do. Do we take on the credit risk? Because I've seen that it was written in your annual report that we get 1.5% as default risk. Is that right? Like, isn't the credit card company taking the default risk here?
So, no. We take that risk because there are a lot of companies who are ready to take the risk. But the cost of taking that risk, they charge substantial amount. And with our process of this collection, which is very, very robust and cost effective, we found it much better for ourselves to assume that risk.
Got it. Sunilji, assuming you sell something which is worth 100 pounds today, right? And after first payment, we of course collect the first payment up front. But after first payment, if that person doesn't basically pay the second or the third installment, do we just call them, or like how does it go? Like how does the recovery program go? Because the shipment is already done, right?
Yeah, shipment is already done. So usually, first of all, we ship to a customer who has a credit card on file with us. So without any reference, we don't give out. If somebody is paying by debit card, we don't give a credit. So credit card has to be there. So if the credit card is there, we assume that the credit card company has done the check on that customer, whether it's Visa or MasterCard or Amex or Discover. That's number one. Number two, proof of credibility that the customer has paid the first installment with shipping and taxes. So these two are sufficient for us to take the risk. And then once, if the customer doesn't pay, we have multiple ways of following up, emails, phone calls, texts, and eventually if the customer is large enough, then we give it to the collection company.
Got it, got it. So maybe my last question. So on your accounting, how does like these numbers are coming on the receivable?
Yes.
So this 167 crores, which was part of like March 21 data, that is the total receivables which we have, 167 crores, right?
Yeah. So most of that is the budget pay receivables. Some maybe to our B2B business, very small portion that might also be there in the total receivable.
Got it. Now, sir, that we are expanding into new geography, our total inventory was about 450 crores. Would that mean for every new geography that we get into, the capital employed, except for the initial capex for studio and some people and the losses of 3 to 5 million, how much inventory do you think we'll have to build up?
So we usually look at the forward number of days, and from that perspective, when you look at our overall working capital, it is comfortable from forward number of days. And we believe that this, by the end of this financial year, our forward number of days will come down as an overall company compared to last year even.
Right, 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 Sunidhi. Sunidhi, you're doing an excellent job. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amit. Appreciate it.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kapil Banga. As an investor, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, Kapil. Go ahead.
Okay. Congratulations on the great set of results. So I had a couple of queries. First is, you mentioned a guidance of 16 to 18%. What are the top two or three risks that you see could lead to, underachievement vis-a-vis this target, possibly?
Yeah, well, I don't see much risks, except unless every customer leaves their home and goes to Caribbean.
Okay, so the entire, you were saying something?
Yeah, I'm just kidding, but that is the only way every customer goes on holidays and don't watch it, don't web surf websites and all that.
Contribution came in from, am I audible?
Yes, yes, you are.
Yeah, yeah. So on a higher base, where certain contribution came in from healthcare products and this opening up, people moving out, you still see this will, with these variables, will be able to achieve 16 to 18%?
Yes. We are confident of overall 16 to 18% for the whole year. So from quarter to quarter, it may change. But for the whole year, we are confident of 16 to 18% constant currency growth of US and UK over last year's elevated base.
Okay. Driven primarily by the core products?
Yeah, so from product point of view, we are very agile. If you see, for example, right now, the handbags are selling like crazy. We can't have them enough in our inventory.
Okay.
Last year, nobody wanted handbags. We'll give you an example. So we would quickly get that handbag, even by air, usually they come by sea. We'll get them by air, offer to the customer, and address their needs. Last year, it was essential. So we scrambled all over the world to get the essential to our customers. So product-wise, we will address what the customer need is and offer. But having said that, our core product, jewelry and other home products or home solution products, or beauty products, they continue to move with the ebb and flow, but they continue to be the core products. But other than that, I think our ability to get to customer what they need defines to a large extent our success.
Okay. Just that in last couple of quarters, there was a tailwind in the form of stimulus checks also, and that could not be there going forward. That is an additional, could be an additional headwind?
Could be, but we haven't really tracked that as much because we are still not Walmart or Target or Amazon yet. Or we are much smaller player than them whom those checks impact. Our market share is pretty small, so we should be able to handle these issues easily.
Sure. Second question is on something that I had query earlier as well in some of the con calls. You have a great platform. You have access to US households, households in UK, which can actually be leveraged for further revenue generating opportunities, opening it for advertisements, generating some ad dollars, etc. Any thoughts on that? Using the platform, because that will be a low capex, high ROSE business, additional growth opportunity. We see Fire Stick, when we switch on the TV, we use Fire Stick, we see all sorts of ads. Can that be sort of implemented on VGL's platforms?
So, Kapil, the advertising business is conducive on marketplace platforms. For example, Amazon or Walmart or all the marketplaces, they get the vendors to compete and advertise for their product and get this revenue. Since we are all proprietary product, opening our channel for third-party advertiser would not make sense. Why would anybody advertise on our platform for our products? Maybe on television they may, but we believe that the noise would not justify the revenue that we would get from that initiative. So we have thought about it a long time ago, but since many years, we have not thought on that area.
Actually, whenever I switch on Fire Stick, I like it's not a marketplace. It's a media delivery platform. This thought always strikes me, this can be done by VGL or not. So thanks for the response on that. And thanks for taking my questions. Congratulations again on the great results.
Thank you, Kapil.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Starin Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sunilji. Just wanted to get an update on the TJC beauty channel. How many hours you have been operating on that and what kind of revenues you started generating from that particular channel?
Yeah, thanks for your question, Arpit. So we are live only 4 hours on beauty channel. So the revenues, we are not breaking down separately by the channel. I don't have the number right in front of me. But from business point of view, in last quarter, it was profitable. By small number, but it was profitable from variable cost point of view. And as we see more traction, we will expand airtime for that channel. So right now, it's only 4 hours live.
And the margins would be on similar lines as the company, or yes, it would be a bit higher or lower? How would the margins look like?
Similar margins. So we range at the front, the retail side, we range between 50 to 65% margin, and it is in the same line. In fact, we don't take in any product in our entire business which would give us less than 50% margin. So that is why we can't go into Bose or Apple or Samsung's or the words. Because there is a guardrail that we set for our business. No product will come in which is below 50% margin.
Got it. And do we aspire to have different channels for different product lines across UK? Like we have for beauty, can we have a similar line for clothing, or can we have a different line for different channels for different product lines? Is that an aspiration that we always target?
It may be possible, but the product line has to be big enough, and we have to have substantial supply chain of product categories to supply to our main business first. And if we see overflow from the main business, then we would consider that. But we would not bring in anything which would compromise our main storefront, so to say.
Got it. And what kind of app downloads we have seen in Germany, UK, or US, or any updates on what the strategy has been on social media?
Yes, I don't have the number of downloads with me right now, but we are seeing the ratio of web app sales going up year over year, much higher than the e-com business itself. So app is improving rapidly for us. I don't have the data in front of me.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Ramakrishnan from Vista Investments. Please go ahead. Rahul Ramakrishnan, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had put myself on mute. I have two questions, follow-ups. Last year, you set up a manufacturing unit for apparels, and I think you had about 50 or 100 people working there. So has there been any ramp-up over there? Are you seeing good traction over there?
Yes, very well, actually. So we actually set up, we're in the process of setting up additional unit on that. So we already have about 250 workers there, and we expect to see this increase further to almost 400 to 500 before the end of this financial year.
Oh, wow. So that's like a 5x increase in the employees count there.
Yeah, that's increasing very rapidly. In fact, fashion is having one of the best growth rates for us. Fashion apparel is having one of the best growth rates for us right now.
Really pleased to hear that, sir. My second question is regarding, sir, as you've seen since FY16, there have been a lot of technology-related upgrades that you've done to your platform, your app. Like, you've been continuously investing in technology, automation, and all that. And you kind of ramped it up even last year. So all those things have actually, those expenses. Do we expect those kind of expenses to continue, or are you finally, going to just ease upon it?
You know, Rahul, IT is something that is constantly evolving and changing. I don't expect this to slow down. If at all, this may only accelerate going forward. Yeah. I wish it would slow down, and I don't think it should, because the technology is so rapidly evolving. This should be ahead or at the curve. It's not. There should be no reason we should be behind the curve.
Thank you, sir. That answers all my questions. All the best to you and your team.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kawalpreet Singh from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my follow-on question. And apologies if this has already been answered. I joined 10 minutes late. So on your gross margin, your guidance is always for 60%, and if I'm not mistaken, this quarter it's around 65%. So any categories that you can highlight where, you enjoy good gross margin, and any risk that this may fall back to
60% level?
Yeah, so first of all, the any category that we take in must meet this threshold. So we don't have any category that just stands out huge in margin wise. Every category has this threshold. And then also category has another guardrail is per minute margin that they must make. So nothing stands out from margin point of view, but our guidance is at 60% and plus. So if from 65 goes to 63% or 62%, so don't get worried. Because we look at the business depending on per minute margin against the target. So there is a minimum that we require the percentage, but we look per minute margin or per square centimeter of our real estate on website.
Right.
From that point of view, our product has to make them numbers.
Right. So because when I look at your results over the last 4-5 years, actually, you know, it has always trended upwards. Like 60%, you say, is the benchmark, but it's always gone higher. So it started from 62, 63, and now it's at 65. So any long-term, you know, focus that went into this to bring it to 65, or is this the nature of what products are being purchased and that is leading to this margin increase?
Yeah, product being purchased, manufacturing are getting more efficient, and also the shipping. So we are giving more and more shipping discounts in today's Amazon world, and we're trying to build up that margin a little bit on the front end. So a lot of factors into play, but our, as I mentioned earlier, if we go below 60%, then it is something to be considered or something to be, you know, attention needs to be given. And I think about 60% is, we are fine with.
Right. The last question would be, another trend I have seen is that the differential between the ASP on the web and TV has continuously reduced. There's still some differential, and I understand maybe that comes from your rising auction. So where do you see this, you know, settling down? Would web ASP be similar as TV ASP? And if you could give a sense of how much as a percentage of total volume is rising auction.
Yeah, sure. So our web has three channels. One is the rising auction, as you mentioned. Other is fixed price catalog. There is entire our inventory is published. And the third is the TV streaming, the live programming streaming through web for the customers who don't get TV signal.
Right.
So all three have different price point at ASP. So the TV streaming is same as TV ASP. The rising auction is substantially lower. So the rising auction is just around $11 or $12 ASP. And the SPC is slightly higher than TV. So what you see is mix of all these three. Now, in long run, from our visibility point of view, the ratio should be similar going forward because rising auction is a exit mechanism for items not moving through TV or the tails remaining on TV. Even on web, if the item is really struggling and not doing well, it could go into rising auction. So the ratio should stay constant in near future.
Right. So the differential between your TV and web ASP should be at similar levels going ahead.
Yes. That's what I see right now.
Okay.
Unless
there's
some new change or new opportunity comes, so that may change the mix. But with the visibility I have right now, it should stay the same.
Great, great. Thanks. That gives a lot of clarity. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Joglekar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead. Yash, your line is unmuted. Please unmute yourself and proceed with the question. Seems there's no response on the line. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
So thank you, everybody, for your robust participation and your support to the business. If you have any further question, please feel free to reach out to CDR or VGR. Vineet at VGR and Shiv at CDR. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Web of Global, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.